I want to talk to you this morning about identity theft. And I don't know, maybe some of you are victims of this serious phenomenon that's happening now. We heard Facebook been breached with, you know, millions and millions of names, you know, secure places where we put our information for banks has been hacked. And so you're just left vulnerable because of all the damage that happens because somebody's smart enough to hack into the computer systems of this world and get all your information. You don't even know sometimes what you send out as information when you sign up for an app on your phone. You agree. Have you ever read the whole agreement thing? No, you just agree, because if you don't agree, you don't go any farther, right? So, and it's all kind of double talk, verbatim, you know, like blah, 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 and it's, you know, and so it goes on for pages, and they know that it goes on for pages, so they're just waiting for you to go, I agree. And then you find out after that you agreed to something you didn't want to agree to. And so we're out there, we're very vulnerable, but there's a couple of types of identity theft that's going on, and I want to talk to you about this morning. In John, 1 John 3, 1 and 2, it says, I am now a child of God, and I will resemble him when he returns. You are a child of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have an identity, a new identity. And I want you to not write anything on these. Does everybody have one of these name tags? If you don't have a name tag, please put your hand up, and we'll have the ushers come and give you some more. All right? Because we want everybody to have one. Yeah, put your hands up, and if we can get the ushers come and put your hand up there. They're coming down the hall. And up in the balcony as well, there's some up there. Is there somebody up there with them as well? We want you to not put anything on there, and we'll kind of explain that as we go along. Right now, there's so many things that identity theft, and there's some gender issues that are things that I would never even thought of. Right now, there's a situation going through the BC court system, and that's to omit the gender of a child, you can show the next slide, on a birth certificate. So now instead of male or female, it's you, undetermined. It's undetermined. And so you have a child now that can be either male or female. We have washrooms that are gender not gender specific anymore. They're just washrooms. have you ever thought maybe when you're growing up that you may be kind of the opposite sex, or you know, you kind of think, well, should I be this way? Should I be that way? Now you're actually taught in the school that you could be either or none. Either or none of the above. Okay. Passports, Canadian passports. They're changing that so that you don't have to have gender specific on that. National anthem, they've politically corrected the words in the national anthem. Pronouns, he and she are now they. We have a Bible that just takes out the masculine parts of God and just puts them into a neutral state. The liberals axed Mr. and Mrs. and mother and father to make government policies gender neutral. So I heard a comedian say, so no more Mr. and Mrs. So that means you can't go to Mr. Lube anymore, you just go to Lube. All right? There's an intense spiritual battle to remove the biblical image of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a plan that the enemy has to take away, to make God no longer of any value because he's gender neutral. He's not a father, he's a nothing. Jesus is not a son, he's a nothing. And the Holy Spirit is not he, he's a nothing. It's a nothing. The reality is, if God is an it, if Jesus is an it, and if the Holy Spirit is an it, we do not need a Savior because we don't have anything, we didn't have any original sin. You understand how this is all kind of tying in to an attack on the very values that God has set out in the Scriptures. I believe with all my heart that the scriptures are truth. And I don't, you know, we've had a battle over the centuries, the Age of Enlightenment, in different places, in different times, that they've come in and attacked. We have evolution has kind of skyrocketed, and now it's being taught that it's fact. It is not fact. It is a theory. And so we have to be very careful in our society today to be careful that we don't get caught up in this and lose our identity in Christ, because it's so very important. See, in Ephesians 3:14, it says this, for this reason I kneel before the Father from whom every family, in heaven and earth derives its name. God is interested in male and female because he created them that way. In Genesis, it says this in chapter 1, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they will rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So we're not the same as the animals. We're above the animals. The animals were not created in the image of God. The animals are not created gender specific, or they're created gender specific. There isn't. You don't go and say, well, what kind of dog do you have? Well, it's undetermined. You know? If you had a litter, how many male dogs? We don't have any male dogs. We don't have any female dogs. Oh, yeah? You do. You can say anything you want, but God has put an impressionable mark on each one of us. And we are gender specific because we're created in the image of God, who is male, and God is female. He has a female side to him as well. He created them, Adam and Eve. Adam's the first man. That's what Adam means. We're in a world that says, no, you don't need, Adam wasn't created like that. We just evolved. No, we didn't evolve. We were created. Adam sinned. We have original sin, and Jesus came as the second Adam and died on the cross so that we might be free from sin and be able to be in right place with God. It says in verse 27, so God created mankind, personkind, humankind. That's okay. In his own image, in his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Pretty specific. 1 John says this in 5:18 and 19. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are the children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Do you notice that? I don't know if you have children in school or not, but it's a challenge. Because one time we used to say the scriptures and we used to pray. Now, that's out. And we're being taught, our children are being taught about that you don't have to be gender specific. You don't have to live a lifestyle. You don't have to do anything that was the Judeo-Christian way of values. And it's being enforced by our government in our school system. 1 John 5:18 to 21 says this, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God in the eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. There's a lot of challenges going on now to remain who you are in your physical being, in who God created you to be, male and female. It's also a huge challenge for you to remain who you are spiritually in him, because the world's out there to attack that as well. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been yet known, made known. And it goes on to say, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. That's what we want to be. We want to be like Christ. And in this world, when you're like Christ, you stand out. You're different. And it's a wonderful thing, but it's not an acceptable thing. You can be anything else, but if you're a Christian, you're going to find that there's more and more pressure to kind of shape you and move you into your... We're all the same. We all serve the same God. There's no one that's not inclusive. And when we say there's only one way to Jesus Christ, one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ, we exclude people. And people get upset. And when you say, well, you're a sinner, they go, oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Bottom line is, yes, you are. And it's not your fault. It's Adam's fault. But Jesus died so that you can be saved, so that you can be in right standing with God, your Father. Through Jesus, his Son, who makes you an heir to salvation, so you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're Jesus' brother or sister. And it says he's not ashamed to call you his brother or sister. God of creation's not ashamed of you. Isn't that awesome? But we know that when Christ appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. A long time ago, a Baptist theologian, Neil Anderson, really helped the Christian world through a couple of books that he wrote. I can't even think of the name of them. Victory Over the Darkness and Bondage Breaker. And he was so helpful, and so many people became free from the attack of the enemy. So this is what Anderson says. He says, a Christian is not simply a person that gets forgiveness, who gets to go to heaven, who gets the Holy Spirit, who gets a new nature. A Christian, in terms of his deepest identity, is a saint. Have you ever thought of yourself as a saint? I mean, St. James rings a bell. It's kind of nice. But you are a saint, not because a church has said, oh, well, you know, after you've been dead or you did a whole bunch of miracles or something like, now you can be a saint. You are a saint because Jesus Christ came into your life and you asked for forgiveness of your sins, and now you're set apart. That's what saint is, set apart. Holy. Not because you did something spectacular, but because Jesus did something spectacular for you and you've received it. A Christian, in terms of his deepest identity, is a saint, a child born of God. Well, how can I be born again? Nicodemus says, I can't go back into the womb. And Jesus said, you need to be born of the water and you need to be born of the Spirit. It's a different thing. You're a divine masterpiece. You ever thought of yourself like that? Have you ever been in some of the museums where you see those divine masterpieces? I mean, they're beautiful art. They're worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. You ever thought of yourself as a divine masterpiece? Some of you. Every morning you should look in there and go, hey, I'm a divine masterpiece. Well, that'd contradict some people, eh? They probably don't think as you, especially if your parents look at you and say, oh, you're not so divine. God looks at you and say, I am proud of you. I'm glad that you are the way you are, the way that you look, the way that you think, the way that all these things, because you reflect me. You are a divine masterpiece. He created you. Look at how many noses in this church. You ever thought about that? That's so many noses. Everyone has one. You do. And they're all different. Pretty well. I have a picture of my daughter Leslie and my son Dan, or our son, and it's just the three of us, and the first thing you can see is that we have the same kind of nose. It's just the same nose. And there's ears. You have ears, right? Good. You have eyes. You have a mouth, I know, because you're all ready to go for lunch. So, and God takes this and he creates 7.5 billion different looking people. There's a few identical twins, but not enough to say that everybody looks like somebody else. You're all different, but you're all a masterpiece. Isn't that awesome? A child of light, not of darkness. You've been transformed from darkness. A citizen of heaven. You got dual citizenship. You might not be able to go to the States, but you can go to heaven. And I'd rather have that one because you don't have to renew it every 10 years. It's there. You're done. You get to use that citizenship forever and ever. Being a Christian is not just getting something. It's being someone. Being someone, that's who you are. Being born is becoming someone who has not been there before. Kyrus, this wonderful little guy, not been here before. None of us. There's another little baby. Never been here before. None of us have been here before. We're all small and cute like that. Try to remember that too, okay? that there's just nobody like you. And God created it that way. What you have isn't the points, Anderson is saying. It's who you are. It's not what the Christian does that determines identity. It is who we are and how we perceive ourselves that determines what we do. I like that. But there's a battle out there. There's some voices from the enemy. There's some voices that say, you know what? You're not mentally stable. You don't look right. You don't really offer much in this world. You kind of get depressed. You don't really reflect Jesus Christ. These are all voices that tell you lies. You're nothing. Because you maybe heard that voice over and over again. You're never going to amount to anything. Nobody's going to love you. You're unlovable. That is right from the pit of hell. Because Jesus Christ says, I love you. I died for you. I care for you. You are mine. I want you and I want your family. I want everyone to come to the knowledge of that kind of love. And you have a name tag on right now, and you haven't got a name on there. You do have a name, I know that. But in the next few minutes, you're going to see who you are in Christ. Now, I haven't done this before. We're going to run a little video clip about a song that kind of summarizes my sermon here. And then we're going to talk in a few more minutes. So if you'd run that video.
Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been
You're a child of the one true King. You are a child of the one true King. I want you to take your badges off, and I want you to write that on there. What a blessing. That's who you are. Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but that's the most important thing you can do, because that name rings true in heaven. Your name is written down in glory. Do you know that? Like, there's a book of life and your name is in it. When you accept Jesus Christ, when you turn from the devil. See, the devil's out to steal two things. Through identity theft, he's out to steal all your possessions. He wants to bankrupt you, and he'll drive you into depression and try to get your name back and try to get out of bankruptcy because somebody else put you in there. That's a real lot of stress. And some people have been devastated because somebody came and stole their identity and taken everything that they physically possessed. That's one way he does it. But the thing that he wants to do is he wants to steal your identity and your soul. He wants to steal that from you. And so that's why there was words up there like, hello, my name is stupid. Hello, my name's the liar. Hello, my name is this and that. That's not who you are. Do you understand that? That is not who you are. You are a child of the one true King. You believe that? All right, I'm going to read something, and I want the ushers to just hand this all out to you. Got a lot of handouts today. I usually don't do that, but I did it this time. Actually, I need one myself because I don't know where it is. Okay. Yeah, I want you to grab this. Just hand them down the aisle. And I'm going to start reading them. You can catch up with me. Matthew 5:13. We need to know these scriptures as to who you are. Matthew 5:13 says, I'm the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14 says, I'm the light of the world. John 1:12 says, I am a child of God, part of his family. John 15:1-5 says, I'm a part of the true vine, a channel of, or a branch of Christ's life. John 15:15 says, I'm Christ's friend. John 15:16 says, I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit. John 16:18 says, I am a slave of righteousness. And that's a choice. John 6:22 says, I'm enslaved to God. Romans 8:14-15 says, I'm a son or daughter of God, and God is spiritually my father. Romans 8:17 says, I'm a joint heir with Christ, sharing in the inheritance with him. 1 Corinthians 3:16-6:19 says, I am the temple or the home of God. His spirit, his life dwells in me. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, I am joined, united to Christ, joined to the Lord, and I'm one in spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, I'm a member, part of Christ's body. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19 says, I'm reconciled to God, and I'm a minister of reconciliation. Galatians 3:26-27 says, I'm a son of God and one in Christ. Galatians 4:6-7 says, I'm an heir of God since I am a son of God. And Ephesians 1:1 says, you are a saint. I am a saint. Ephesians 2:10 says, I'm God's workmanship, his handicraft, or his handiwork, created, born anew in Christ to do his work that he has planned beforehand that I should do. That's your call. Ephesians 2:19 says, I'm a fellow citizen with the rest of God's people in his family. Ephesians 3:1-4:1 says, I am a prisoner of Christ. Ephesians 4:24 says, I am righteous and holy. Philippians 3:20 says, I am a citizen of heaven and seated with him right now in heavenly places. Colossians 3:3 says, I am hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:4 says, that I am expression of God's, the life of Christ, because he is my life. Colossians 3:12 says, I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says, I'm chosen and dearly loved by God. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, I am a son of light and not of darkness, son or daughter. Hebrews 3:1 says, I am a holy brother or sister, partaker of a heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:14 says, I'm a partaker of Christ. I share in his life. Hebrews 3:14 says, 1 Peter 2:5 says, I'm one of God's living stones and being built up in Christ into a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 says, I'm a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession to proclaim the excellencies of him. 1 Peter 2:11 says, I'm an alien and a stranger in this world in which you temporarily live. 1 Peter 5:8 says, I am an enemy of the devil. And 1 John 3:1 and 2 says, I am now a child of God and will resemble him when he returns. 1 John 5:8 says, I am born of God and the evil one, the devil cannot touch me. All right, turn that page over. That's who you are in Christ. And because of this, since I am in Christ, on the other side it says this, by the grace of God, Romans 5:1 says, you've been justified, completely forgiven, and made righteous. Romans 6:1 to 6, died with Christ, and now you're died to the power of sin's rule over your life. Romans 8:1 says that you're free forever from condemnation. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says you have been placed into Christ by God's doing. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says you've received the Spirit of Christ in your life that you might know the things freely given to me by him. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that you have been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says that you have been bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says you've been established, anointed, and sealed by God in Christ and have, in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, been given the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a down payment, a deposit guaranteeing your interest or your inheritance to come. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says you've been made righteous. Galatians 2:20 says you've been crucified with Christ and is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. The life that you're now living is Christ's life. Ephesians 1:3 says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:4 says you've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him. Ephesians 1:5 says you were predestined, determined by God to be adopted as a son or daughter. Ephesians 1:7 and 8 says you've been redeemed, forgiven, and are a recipient of his lavish grace. Ephesians 2:5 says you've been made alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says you've been raised up and sealed, seated with Christ in heavenly places. And Ephesians 2:18 says you have direct access to God through the Spirit. Ephesians 3:12 says you may approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence. This is all truth. This is not Jim Caruso. This is the Scripture. This is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:12 says you may approach God with boldness and freedom and confidence. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13 says you've been delivered, rescued from the domain of darkness, which is Satan's rule, and transferred into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:14 says you've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. The debt against you has been canceled. And Colossians 1:27 says you have Christ himself in you. Colossians 2:7 says you've been firmly rooted in Christ and are now being built up in him. Colossians 2:11 says you've been spiritually circumcised or your old unregenerate nature has been removed. Colossians 2:10 says you've been made complete in Christ. Colossians 2:12 and 13 says you've been buried, raised, and made alive together in Christ. Colossians 3:1 to 4 says you've been raised up with Christ, died with Christ. Your life now is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is now your life. 2 Timothy 1:7, he says you're given the spirit of power and love and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:9 and Titus 3:5 says you've been saved and called, set apart according to God's doing. Hebrews 2:11 says, because I am sanctified and one with the sanctifier Christ, he's not ashamed to call you his brother or sister. Isn't that awesome? That's scripture. Hebrews 4:16 says that you have a right to come boldly to the throne of God through the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in the time of need. And 2 Peter 1:4 says, you have been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God, by which I am a partaker of the divine nature of God's nature. Oh, do you like that? That's who you are. That's who you are. Randy, if you'd come up with your team, that's who you are. I want you to stand as Pastor Randy and his team come back together. Maybe you've never believed that about yourself. Maybe you never had this on your name before. You went by your legal name, and the enemy's come in and said, no, you're stupid. No, you're a liar. No, you're a loser. You are not a loser. You're not stupid, and you're not a liar. You are one of God's precious children, and you're a child of the true King. And so I want you this morning, if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I want you to come forward. If you need prayer about this identity thing that you've been struggling with, maybe you're depressed, maybe you just think it's not all worth it, or maybe you're just kind of thinking, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be the way I should be. You are the way you should be now in Jesus Christ. And so I just want you to come. We're going to worship for a few minutes, and then we're going to close the service. So I want you to come. If you need prayer, please come. We'll anoint you and pray for you.